morning, and what a great opportunity it is to come together to worship God. I appreciate your presence, and I hope that our Bible study will be encouraging this morning. Lord willing, next Sunday morning, I will be bringing a lesson on evangelism, and in doing that, I will be giving you sort of a preview of my trip to the Philippines. Some of you have been asking about what will be going on and what are some of the things that we're planning to do, and so Lord willing, I will be doing some of that next Sunday morning, and I appreciate your prayers and interest in that. We just sang a song. It was new to me last Sunday, Abba Father, and I want to bring our message from God's Word concerning that word that Jesus used, those two words, and some lessons for us today. The song that we sang right before the Lord's Supper, where Jesus was crying out, Abba Father, in the Garden of Eden. I heard that growing up a lot. That's the only song I was aware of that had Abba Father in it. I remember hearing that a lot growing up. But the song that we just sang is new to me, and I'm glad that we have added that in to our song selections. It has a very good sentiment, and not only a good sentiment, but as we're going to see in just a minute, the Apostle Paul wants us to cry out, Abba Father. I don't know if I've ever done that personally in my life. I don't know if I've ever cried out, Abba, Father. And I don't know if we have to literally do that. If you wanted to do that, for example, in the privacy of your home when you're saying a prayer, that would be a good thing to do. And I might consider that in my own prayer life. That might be something that I could add in. But if we don't actually say the words, I hope that we at least have the attitude or the concept in our mind that we want to be like this with our Father. Very important. And so the question that I'm going to ask this morning is, how close are you with your Father? How close are you with your Father? We just read Romans chapter 8. We'll be looking at the two other places in the New Testament where this Abba Father is used. What is Abba Father? What are we singing when we sing that? What is Paul talking about when he writes about that in Romans chapter 8? Abba or Abba is an Aramaic word for my father. And it is a word where there is a reduplication of syllables, Abba, A-B and A-B. And when there is a reduplication of syllables, that is characteristic of speech development in children around the world. That's how children begin to talk. Your children began to talk that way. Our children began to talk that way. It would be like somebody saying, Dad, Dad, Abba. A little child who is beginning to talk and have a relationship with his or her father, this is the first thing they say. Your children did not begin talking in entire sentences. They began with syllables, and not just a syllable, but a repeated syllable. Dad, dad. Papa. Mama. Daddy. Benjamin has been sending me videos of Chris, their son that is around 10 months old, and he's doing that over there. The syllables that they use for their dad and their mom, that's what he... That. This is a word that is basically saying, I am a child that is wanting to have a close relationship with my father. And we see it all around the world today when children begin to talk. I'm told that there's actually an Aramaic word for mama, Emma, that is similar. So Abba and Emma, daddy, mommy. The question I'm going to ask this morning is, how close are you with your father? If we're crying out, Abba, Father, then we are very close with our Father. But how close are we? Well, I come to church. Well, We're going to have to be a little bit closer than that. That's a good thing. That's a good start. That's important, and that's a part of it, but I'm going to have to be doing more than that. How close are you with your Heavenly Father? Turn with me to Mark chapter 14. Let's look at the three places in the New Testament where this comes up. First of all, it comes up in Mark chapter 14, and this was the song that we sang right before the Lord's Supper when Jesus was praying in the Garden of Gethsemane. In Mark chapter 14 and verse 36, Jesus expresses a close relationship with His Father. He went forward a little and fell on the ground and prayed that if it were possible, the hour might pass away from Him. And He said, "Abba," or "Abba, Father, all things are possible unto Thee. Remove this cup from Me, howbeit not what I will, but what Thou wilt." The one time where Jesus mentions this. He's expressing a close relationship with His Father. But what's interesting about this is, even though He's expressing a close relationship, notice in verse 36, "Even though I have a close relationship, it is still Your will, not mine." Closeness doesn't give me an opportunity then to say, well, I get to do what I want because I'm close with my Father. It's actually the opposite. I'm so close with my Father that whatever my Father wants me to do, that's what I'm going to do. But notice the closeness there at a very great time of need for Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane. All throughout Jesus' ministry, many, many times in the Gospels, He addressed God as His Father. This is the only time where He says, "Abba, Father." So, in time of need, how close are you with your Father? Who do you turn to? And we'll talk about that later in the lesson. Who do you turn to? How close are you with your Father? We are to cry out, "Abba, Father." Let's look at the scripture reading that we had just a moment ago that Levi had in Romans chapter 8. This is the second place in the New Testament where this statement is used, and it's in the context of Christians. These last two, Romans 8 and Galatians 4, are used of Christians. This is us now. And Paul is saying that we as Christians need to be crying out, "Abba, Father." And again, I don't know if I have literally ever done that in my life. Maybe I should start. But even if I don't actually say those two words, I need to have this attitude or disposition of, I want to be close with my Father. And look at the context, brethren. It's in the context of, if we are children of God, we are following the Spirit. We are not walking after the lust of the flesh. We are acting as children of God should act. There is a context here of responsibility. We have a privilege of being a son of God, but that comes with that comes a responsibility to walk right and act right and live right. Romans chapter 8 and verse 12, "So then, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh." That goes back to verse 4 and following. If you read down through the context, we're not going to walk after fleshly thoughts and desires. We're going to let the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, guide us through His words. So we're not going to live after the flesh, this worldly, carnal, lusting approach to life. "For if we live after the flesh, you must die spiritually. But if by the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, you put to death the deeds of the body, you shall live." When I follow the words of the Spirit, I slowly crucify that old man. Every verse that I follow in the Holy Spirit, that is the opposite or the antithesis of living in the flesh. And I'm putting to death the deeds of the body. Every day I'm living more like the Spirit wants me to live, not like what my fleshly body, how it wants me to live. And so then he makes the point in verse 14. "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God." Just like Jesus was the Son of God. A father-son relationship. "For you receive not the spirit or the attitude of bondage again unto fear." We're not to live in fear. This really goes back to chapters 6, 7, and 8. I don't have time to develop that this morning, but Paul is talking about the Christian's walk in Christ, and the Christian is sanctified and set apart from sin, chapter 6, from the old law, chapter 7, and from fear of suffering and problems that are going to come along, chapter 8. And that's how we're supposed to be living. We're supposed to be living without a spirit of fear. But you received the spirit or the attitude or the disposition of adoption whereby we cry, Abba, Father. We are in God's family. We are God's sons, and we can cry out, Abba, Father. The Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. When we match up, when our life matches up with what the New Testament teaches, then that's how we know that we are children of God. Not when we guess or think or feel, but when we follow the words of the Spirit, we can know that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs. We are going to inherit many blessings now in heaven. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. We're going to get what He gets together. He's our brother. The Hebrew writer mentions that in Hebrews chapter 2, that Christ is our brother. We're in God's family. Okay? Joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified with Him. Notice there's two things, and he's going to go on to talk about suffering in verse 18. Notice that there's a couple of things here in the context where Abba Father comes into play. Number one, if I have a close relationship with my Father, I'm going to be walking after the Spirit, not after the flesh. And number two, if I have a close relationship with the Father, if I have to undergo suffering, that's not going to cause me to fall away. I'm going to bear up under that, and I'm going to keep pressing onward. And verse 25, with patience and hope, I'm going to keep looking forward to heaven. I'm not going to let suffering detract me. But I have to have a close relationship with my Father. And verse 15, I don't have to live in fear. That is gripping so many people today. It's got them in a chokehold in so many ways. I'm fearful of this, and I'm fearful of that. Sometimes it's physical things, sometimes it's political things, sometimes it's other things in life. And it's got such a chokehold on people that they don't live the Christian life. They're paralyzed. Every day they get up, they're worried about this, and they're worried about that, and it paralyzes them, and they don't want to go out and live. And Paul says, we have not been given that spirit or attitude of bondage. Chapter 6, bondage to sin. Chapter 7, bondage to the old law. We're not bound. We're free in Christ. And we don't need to be fearing things. And this spirit whereby we cry, Abba, Father, number 3, it helps us with walking after the Spirit. Number 2, handling suffering that we have to go through. And number 3, it helps us to not be fearful. I'm close to my Father. I'm close to my Father, and I'm not fearful. Turn with me to Galatians chapter 4. Let's look at the third place where this is used in the New Testament. I hope that we'll continue to sing this song that Seth has taught us. It's a great song. And I hope that every time we sing it now, we will be thinking, I am close with my Heavenly Father. In Galatians chapter 4, the context goes back to, we're going to be looking at chapter 4, verse 6. But the context goes back to the end of chapter 3, where Paul is talking about in verse 26 and 27, that when we're baptized into Christ, we become children of God, sons of God. For you are all, verse 26, sons of God through faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as were baptized into Christ did put on Christ. And if you follow that thread all the way down through, just ignore the chapter division there, because the thought goes on into what we call chapter 4. And his point is going to be that you are a son of God. You're not a slave in God's house. You're a son in God's house. A slave in a house was not as close to the father as the son was. The son is closer to the father than the slave is. This is written at a time when there were household slaves in the first century. And Paul is saying, you're not a slave, you're a son. But I say that so long as the heir is a child, he differs nothing from a bondservant or a slave, though he is Lord of all. A little child and a slave have about the same relationship, if you will, to the father, but is under guardians and stewards until the day appointed of the father. So we also, when we were children, were held in bondage under the rudiments of the world, and that's going back to chapter 3, when the law was present and so forth. But when the fullness of time came, this would be the same as chapter 3, verse 24 and 25, when Christ comes along, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, that He might redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons of God, chapter 3, verse 26, and that is through baptism, you're sons of God. God sent forth the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. We can now cry out, Abba, Father. So that thou art no longer a bondservant, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. We are an inheritance of all the spiritual blessings in this life and in heaven to come. The context here is that of privilege. We have the privilege of being a son. We're not a slave. We're not even a child anymore. We have come to that sonship status in Christ. And we have a close relationship with the Father. So Jesus shared a close relationship, and Christians are to share a close relationship with the Father. And our lesson this morning is going to be, how close are you to your father? How close were you to your earthly father? You'll hear stories, and it's unfortunate and sad, that some young people grow up and they did not have a close relationship with their father. And that's unfortunate. It happens. When that happens to a person, I would encourage them, rather than to spend the rest of their life looking backward with all of those problems, and I'm not dismissing that. Those are serious problems. Look forward. Learn from it. Look forward. Be your own father. Be your own person. But don't spend the rest of your life down and out because you didn't have a close relationship with your mother or your father. You can change and you can be different. But let's say that that happened. Brethren, we can be close with our Heavenly Father. And some of us were close with our earthly fathers. Some of us were close, and we did close things with them. We would go out and play with them. We would go out and do fun things together. We would learn things together. We would do things together. We had a close relationship. Maybe you had a close relationship with your earthly father. But either way, as a Christian, we can always have a close relationship with our Heavenly Father. And we're going to talk about that this morning, and how we can do that. This word, Abba, is a transliterated word. Now look at that carefully. I didn't say translated. I said transliterated. Those are two different things. A transliterated word is an English word in our Bible that is basically the same as the Greek word. Okay? It's the same letters, roughly. Apostle is another one of those. If you look at apostle in the Greek, it's basically the same thing as apostle in the English. Okay, so there are a list in the New Testament of some transliterated words. When you come to a transliterated word, you're just looking at the English letters that match up with the Greek letters. You still have to learn the meaning of it. Okay? So when you come to a transliterated word, you're just looking at it basically in English as you would in Greek. But you got to ask yourself, well then what does this mean? It means a warm, intimate word of a child who is close with his or her father. This is the beginning of the syllables of a small child, less than 1 year old. Mama, dada. And this child knows who his or her father or mother is. It's a term of endearment. They don't come up to some stranger and say dada. They say dada to their dada. They know who dada is versus some other man. They know that because of the close interaction 24/7 of the father and the son. And so it's a term of endearment. It's an expression of love. It's an expression of trust and confidence. That's what Abba, Father means. And if we cry out, as Paul says to do in Romans 8 and Galatians 4, and notice, by the way, all three of those places in the New Testament were in the form of prayers. In Mark 14, it's a prayer. And in Romans 8 and Galatians 4, Paul says, crying Abba, Father. It's implied that it's crying out in prayer to God. All three of those are prayers. It means a close term of endearment. And it is among the first or among the first words of a child. Dada. And we all did that, right? As parents, those of you who are parents, is our child going to say dada first or mama? So then you start placing your bets. And then, like I did when Sherry wasn't around, I tried to get him to say dad, 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 say dad, dad. Yeah, boy, I took advantage of that one. We're gonna have our children say dad, dad first. Maybe Sherry was doing the same thing with mama and I didn't know it. What's the point with this? It's the first word and it's an everyday word. When the child gets up, it's the same thing. Dad, 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 mama, mama. Every day. Until they begin to add more words to their vocabulary. That's the point. It needs to be something that we think of first. It needs to be something that we think of every day. It needs to be on our mind that we are close with our Heavenly Father. We're not going to go through this life estranged from our Heavenly Father. We're going to be close to them. So let's ask the question then this morning, and let's look at a few things. How close are you to your Father? Turn with me to Romans chapter 15 and verse 6. You might say, well, you know, I think I'm pretty close to my Heavenly Father. Well, let's test that this morning. Let's test that. I hope you are. And I want us to be. But let's test that. How close are you with your Heavenly Father? Well, let me ask you this. How often do you want to make Him happy? The little child is always wanting to make Dada happy. How often do you want to make Him happy? When you get up each day and you go about living, is it about what I want or is it about I want to make my Father happy? In Romans chapter 15 and verse 6, that with one accord you may with one mouth glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're going to be looking at some Father verses here, by the way. Capital F, Father verses. We need to live in such a way that we glorify our Father. We honor Him. We reverence Him. This is what makes Him happy. The little child always wants to make Daddy happy. Is that the way you feel every day? I want to make my Heavenly Father happy today. I want to glorify my Heavenly Father. I want to live in such a way that He's honored. I'm thinking about Him when I speak. And Jeff has been talking about the Sermon on the Mount where Jesus is wanting us to check our words and our thoughts and our actions. We want to make our Father happy and glorified and honored. And the little child wants to make Daddy happy and proud. Look, Daddy, what I did. Look at what I've done. And the little child is wanting a reaction from Daddy. If we're close with our Father, we're going to want to glorify Him each and every day. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 3. When there are problems in your life, let me ask you this. Are you close with your Father? Okay, well let me ask you this. Do you run to Him for help? Do you run to Him for help? How often do you go to Him for comfort and peace? Today, people in the world, they run to all kinds of things. I run to drugs, I run to alcohol, I run to worldly friends, and I'm having a problem, and we all have problems. But who do you run to for help when you have a problem? The little child runs to daddy. That's who he runs to. And we need to go to our Father. And He's there to comfort us. There are people in the world that need great comfort. And blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of mercies and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our affliction. Do we run to our daddy? And I'm not using that in a flippant way. That's the very thing that that word means. Do we run to our daddy, to our papa, to our close father? Is he the first person we think of when we're going through some problem and so we're going to go to him in prayer? Or is our first thought something else? Anxiety and worry and stress and letting it out in some kind of bad way? Or do we recognize that our Father is the Father of all mercies and comfort? How close are you to your Father? Well, let me ask you this. Turn with me to Ephesians 1:17. How often do you go to Him for advice? How often do you go to Him for advice? That'll tell you how close you are with Him. The little child goes to daddy for help. The little child goes to daddy for guidance and for advice and counsel and wisdom. And daddy, can you help me with this? And daddy, can you help me with that? Do we do that? Paul writes that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ given to you a spirit of... the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. Well, I'm going to go to the internet for help. Good luck with that. Well, I'm going to turn to social media for my help. Well, good luck with that. Well, I'm going to ask my friends, or I'm going to go read some man-made book. Do we go to our Father for knowledge and wisdom and the revealed will that we have? And in this same book, Paul writes, do not be ignorant, but understand what the will of the Lord is. He wants to guide us and give us advice. I didn't do this that I can remember a whole lot with my Father when I was at home. But I definitely did this after I got out preaching. I would call Him for His advice. Dad, I need your help with this. What does this verse mean, or how do I handle this church issue? I would call Him. Do you go to your dad for advice? Do you go to your Heavenly Father for advice? He wants to guide us. He wants to give us counsel. And the neat thing about it is, boy, it's available 24/7. It's there. That's why our daily Bible reading is so important. Our Father is just trying to guide us. Let's go to Him when we need that. How often do you talk with your daddy? How often do you talk with your father? Boy, I see Wells and Beckett. Boy, they run and they jump in daddy's arms, Caleb's arms, and they want to talk with him. And they want to tell him about this and tell him about that. How often do you talk with your father? That shows how close you are with him. I speak, of course, of prayer. Ephesians 3, verse 14. Ephesians 3:14, for this cause I bow my knees unto the Father. That's how Paul approached prayer. He's my Father, capital F. Look at those capital F passages in your New Testament sometime. Look those up. The capital F passages, our Heavenly Father. And I bow my knees unto my Father. How often do you talk with your Father? Well, I'm so busy with school and work and stuff, I really don't pray much throughout the week. Okay, you need to get closer with your Father. Sometimes I'll do it at meals and sometimes I won't. You need to get closer. Well, I just forgot. Well, I've forgotten and things like that. But if we're so close with our Father, we're so habitual in speaking to Him in prayer that it's just going to become second nature and a habit, and there won't be this, well, I was so hungry that I started in on that thing, and lo and behold, I was halfway through the meal and I forgot to pray. If I'm so close with my Father, that's not going to happen. Turn with me to Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. Colossians chapter 1 and verse 3. We give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you. We're going to talk to our Father all the time. And also 1 Peter 1:17. Let me ask you this. Are you close with your Father? Well, how often do you imitate Him? Boy, I've seen this happen in our own children, and I'm seeing it in the grandkids. Boy, the little child wants to walk like Daddy, and talk like Daddy, and dress like Daddy. And Daddy wears a coat and tie, and so I want to wear a coat and tie to church because Daddy's got a coat and tie on. Or whatever. Do we imitate our Father? If we're close to our Father, we're going to imitate Him. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 18, where Paul is talking about a context of Christians who are not to be in fellowship with the things of this world. They're not to be engaging in the sinful, ungodly and wicked practices of this world. And we're not to have fellowship in this context with, they were having fellowship some with idolatry and things like that. What, be not unequally yoked with unbelievers, for what fellowship has righteousness with iniquity or sin? These are rhetorical questions. They're not supposed to be in the same room with each other, so to speak. What communion has light with darkness? What concord has Christ with Belial? Or what portion has a believer with an unbeliever? And what agreement has a temple of God? He had said back in 1 Corinthians 3 that the church is a temple, and in 1 Corinthians 6 the individual body is a temple. You can't be taking that and then mixing it with idols. For we are a temple of the living God, even as God said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. Wherefore, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch no unclean thing, and I will receive you, and I will be to you a father, and you shall be to me sons and daughters. You're my children. Don't go out and act like the world. You're in my family, and we do not engage in sinful practices. This verse is not talking about marriage, by the way. And number two, it's not talking about don't physically be around people in the world. When you go to school and when you go to work, you have to be around people in the world and in our community and go to Walmart and so forth. It's talking about fellowshipping, engaging in these things or condoning these things or supporting these things. We're not going to do that. You can physically be around it, but not be in fellowship with it. But what's the incentive? Verse 18, because I'm your Father and you're my sons. You imitate me. And so chapter 7 and verse 1, we are to put away all defilement of flesh and spirit, perfecting the holiness in the fear of God. We're to be imitating our Father, not the world around us. But a little child will imitate Daddy. Right or wrong, good or bad, a little child will imitate Daddy. And sometimes it's in a bad way. You'll see the little kindergartner come to school and they're cussing like a sailor. Right? So they got that from Daddy or somebody. It can be in a bad sense or a negative sense, but it doesn't have to be. And I've seen little children imitate their Daddy in a very good way. And I pray for our new fathers and fathers to be here. You can be a great Daddy to your children. But our Heavenly Father wants us to imitate Him. How often do you act properly in front of Him? Boy, the little child wants to act right when Daddy's around. Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians 3:13. If we're close to our Heavenly Father, we're going to want to act properly in front of Him all the time, to the end that He may establish your hearts unblameable in holiness before our God and Father. The word before here is in front of Him, in His presence. He can see us. And we are so close to our Heavenly Father that every day, even when mom and dad are not around, or when the spouse is not around, or the elders, or the boss, or whoever, even if I'm just by myself, I'm going to be acting right because I'm so close with my Heavenly Father that I'm going to walk in this unblameable and holy way before Him. He sees me, in other words. Same thing in James 1:27. How often do you bless Him? James says that with our mouth we bless the Father. Unfortunately, he goes on to say that we also curse our fellow man. And he says this ought not to be so. But we need to bless our Father. If we're close with our Father, we're going to speak well of Him and we're going to talk with others about Him. And my Heavenly Father, who loves me, He answers my prayers and He's given me His Word. And He cares for me. How often do we bless our Father in front of others? Tell people about your close relationship with God. How often do you walk in fellowship with Him? Turn with me to 1 John 1:3. We have some old 8mm movies. And some of them, going back to the early 70s, have me walking hand in hand with my father. He had an office at home, and my mother was teaching school during the day, and dad had an office at home, and this was up in Ohio in the warmer time of the year, we would walk down to the creek and have lunch. And he would hold my hand, and there's some movies of some of that. That's pretty neat. The little child wants to walk right by daddy. Just wants to be lockstep with daddy. Right at your feet. What is that? That's a close fellowship. That's a close relationship. And so we want to be able to walk with our Heavenly Father. And that requires, because He's life, God is light, that requires us to walk in the light. That requires us to live a certain way. And I am so close with my Heavenly Father that I want to walk side by side with Him, being in fellowship with Him. 1 John 1:3, that which we have seen and heard, this is John talking about the life of Christ and the message of Christ, we declare unto you that you also may have fellowship with us, yea, and our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son, Jesus Christ. And he goes on to talk about in verse 5 how you can have that fellowship by walking in the light, because God is light and we're going to be in the light. Light here is truth and what is right, not sinful. And God is light, and I'm close with my Father, and I'm going to walk in the light with Him, and we're going to go hand in hand through life. I'm not going to walk in darkness. I'm so close with my Father that I want to walk side by side with Him. I want to be in fellowship with Him. And then last of all, turn with me to 2 John 4. How often do you obey what He says? The little child does what the Father says. And that's really Jesus' point in Mark chapter 14. Abba, Father, He cried. And then He said, not my will be done, but Thy will be done. If we are so close with our Father, then we're going to obey Him. We're going to do what He says. We're going to act the way He wants us to act. I rejoice greatly that I have found certain of Thy children walking in truth, even as we have received commandment from the Father. Notice in the same verse, Father and children. That's the point. I am so close with my Father as His son, as His child, that I'm going to do what He wants me to do. I'm going to walk in the truth. And in verse 9, I'm not going to go outside the doctrine of Christ, because verse 9, I want to have the Father, meaning in fellowship with Him, and the Son. So as we close this morning, Abba, Father. It means a close relationship. A relationship that is a term of endearment, an expression of love and trust. And so, as we close, let us love Him. In the same book of 1 John, John says, if we love the world, the love of the Father is not in us. Our Father loves us. We need to love Him. And we're not going to love the world. and act like the world. We're going to be a faithful Christian. And let's put His name on in baptism and wear His name as we've just studied recently in the book of Revelation, where the name symbolically, not literally, but symbolically on your forehead means that you are God's child. And when we go to be with Him in heaven, those in heaven are those who have the name of the Father on their forehead. Well, what a great statement and a great song. How close are you with your Father? If there's an area that we touched on this morning where we see, you know, I can be closer to Him in this area or that, let's go out this week and let's work on that very thing. Let's be close to our Father. It begins by becoming a son in baptism, and it continues by living close to Him. Someone who did not have a close earthly father relationship, I'm sorry about that. It happens, it comes up. But you can have a close heavenly father relationship. All of us can. We're going to sing this song, "There is a Redeemer." And our Father loves us and redeems us. If you need to come and put on Christ in baptism, we would encourage you to do that. If you have not felt close because of what we've studied today, and you want to come back and have a closer relationship, let us help you with that. If you need something, let your needs be made known as we stand and sing. Please come forward.